Out of the Recovery Act, we were able to create a $650 million fund focused on identifying the solutions that are out there in the field that great teachers, great school leaders, and great social entrepreneurs are creating to solve some of our perennial challenges in education, and offer them rewards of up to grants of up to $5 million for those things that have a limited amount of evidence, all the way up to $50 million for those things that have a significant level of evidence, gold standard, some would say. So what we realized is that both in the run-up to this competition and afterward, there would be great benefit to all of the education community being able to hear about, see these ideas, for people to be able to share information, find opportunities for partnership, for funders to be able to see some of the people that had great ideas, and frankly, for the teachers and our entrepreneurs, for them to be seen by people who had funding and might be interested in supporting their work. So we created this platform to allow that to happen, to allow people to find each other, to collaborate, to see new ideas and share ideas and find opportunities for funding.
And so how talk a little bit about how the site works, because we've seen a number of these platforms where people can suggest ideas and then other people can rate them. But yours actually goes beyond that.
Sure. So it works. It has three basic components to it. The first is the identification of a challenge. And so what we did is we identified a handful of challenges focused on tools and resources to help with teacher effectiveness and leader effectiveness, things to improve the use of data, things like that. The second thing is that you have someone who has a solution that they want to propose, and we ask them to create a profile, propose their idea, and then to not only talk about the idea, but describe some very specific things about it that are important to us, like the evidence base supporting it, how sustainable it is beyond grant dollars of some kind, and is it scalable? How many people can it reach, and how broadly can it can this actually serve? And then the third piece is the community. And there are people who do have memberships to the platform can comment and rate on ideas that are there. Interestingly, other people can comment and rate their comments. And what's important about that is if you are a person who is seen by the community as having great insight, you can earn what are called points on the platform that allow you to have a little bit more weighting in the conversations.
And this is actually, you've done this through a public-private partnership with an organization called STCI, vencorps.org.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about how that worked. Why did you decide to do it that path rather than maybe just creating it yourself?
Well, I think a couple of things. We needed to move quickly. And so we were looking for a platform that had been used in other venues successfully to do this kind of work. And we were able, through some of the work that had been done across the administration, to look at platforms like this to quickly identify ST Vencorp. And the second thing was that we knew that we did not have the expertise or the resources to build it from scratch. It has some sophisticated algorithms built into it. Just the web platform itself is much more than you'd want to invest in. And the third piece is that, you know, we'd never done it before. And so we knew that this is something that we're trying out, but we don't know ultimately whether it's going to meet our needs or whether it's going to be an appropriate role over the long term for the federal government to play.
And sometimes it's that powerful decision to say, hey, we don't know what we don't know. Let's get some knowledge and go out and tap people who have done this.
And that's exactly right. And so we did, it's turned out to be a really strong and great partnership.
Talk a little bit about, now, when did you start it? Is there a close date on it, or is this something that evolves over time? How do you work this as it moves forward through the process?
Sure. It doesn't have a close date. It stays wide open. We'll make a determination about when to put up and take down different challenges over time. We'll submit new challenges to get the community to pull together their ideas, and then and pull different ideas out of the community. We'll also start to open up the platform to let various other organizations use it to pose challenges as well. And I think that's going to prove to be exciting to the broader community as well.
But other organizations all focused around education and education issues.
All focused on education.
Yeah. And do you ask folks to, I know some of the other challenges we've seen out there in government tend to be almost too big. In fact, I think that's one of the lessons learned from establishing the open government directives. The question was almost too big that people almost didn't know what they were responding to. Do you keep them very focused, or do those kinds of brainstorming ideas, does that work very well?
Actually, we wound up doing a combination of the two. And so you'll notice that some of the challenges are very specific. Hey, we want to go after those solutions that actually improve the use of data to improve classroom instruction, right? And that's, you know, still has a lot of room in it, but it's fairly specific. And the others are, there's another category, if you will, for people who just want to put up great ideas. And that allows you to bring a lot of different energy from the field where people have solutions to problems that you might not have had at the top of your list, but are actually pretty significant for the field. And we've been excited to see entries in both categories.
What were some of the biggest challenges about getting the site even up and operational and able to collect ideas?
Sure. So getting the site up and operational, I have to say that our partners did exceptional work with us, and they got it done very quickly. The actual hurdles were getting the government comfortable with using a platform like this, creating the venue where people might form partnerships, and understanding exactly what was our role as a convener, as a place, as not a real participant in these partnerships, what was appropriate and what wasn't appropriate role for us to play.
Yeah, and part of this is almost something akin to Facebook, where there may be connections that happened that at the education department may not control, it may go off in a direction that you maybe didn't even think about.
Definitively, that's actually the case. We are not in control of the community. People have, we've done the best that we can to protect people's privacy, so that they then can make their own decisions about who they want to contact, what kind of groups they may form, who they may decide to do work with in the future. Those decisions they're all making independently. All we're trying to do is create a space where they can find each other and use our convening power to allow folks to find each other more easily.
Now, there were a couple of issues that I know were issues, and you had to bring legal folks in. One is, how do you deal with proprietary information, information that's almost intellectual property? And essentially what you're telling folks is, hey, if it's on the site, it's open. It's out there. You're putting it in the public domain.
That's exactly right. And I mean, the good news is that there's a lot that people can share about their ideas to get across what the core components are, how effective they are, all that good stuff without these IP issues coming up. But yeah, I mean, people who share things, they share them openly, and they recognize that they're doing so at their own risk.
And also to their benefit, one hopes. They'll be able to get something out of it on the other
Absolutely.
End as well. And there seems to be a fine line. You want to protect people's privacy, but you also want people attached to their work, and not accountability, but it allows you to judge where the information's coming from. It seems like you want to fall somewhere in between there.
Yeah, definitely. So there are definitely some things that we're going to be doing on the next round, like separating out better ways to distinguish for-profit providers from nonprofit providers, for example, and commenters, asking them to identify themselves in terms of some of their affiliations and connections to the organizations that they're validating. Now that said, you know, most of this stuff is going to be self-reported.
Right.
So it really is one of these things where you're going to rely on the power of the community to start to ferret out whether people are being straightforward or not. And it shows up in their comments. And actually, then there's some algorithms underneath that also pick up on whether people are being fair in the way that they treat the different things that they talk about.
And communities generally, if they're active communities, get pretty good at that. The other thing that your site has that I haven't seen in other government sites is this place to essentially seek or offer services, almost a la Craigslist kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we found very quickly was that there were people who just wanted to share what they had. And it may or may not have fit into our category. And so what we said is, look, you know, recognizing that there is both a benefit to the potential user as well as the potential provider, we want to create a space for people to put things up, but we don't want the actual challenges to be cluttered, frankly, with people just trying to find a venue to, you know, they have a hammer and they're looking for a nail.
Right.
So we thought that we could solve two problems with one at one time. Give a good space for people to actually be willing to share their services and supports, and actually make sure that the challenges stay a little bit cleaner and more pure.
Talk a little bit about how, you know, it's government, and we'd love to measure things. How do you measure whether this all is working, whether it is actually helping the Department of Education and education in the country generally?
Well, I mean, I think on the in terms of putting together hard metrics, we're still trying to figure out the best way to figure out what happens, especially because these relationships come together independently. So, you know, the best things that will happen, I'm the best we can hope for right now is that people send us a thank you note that says, hey, we met our new funder, or we met our new partner, or we started doing work with this district, and it's all because of the connection that we made on the Open Innovation Portal. But because we are allowing people to form these relationships independently, tracking and measuring the impact of having this venue is actually pretty tricky. What we are going to start to see over in the overall program, and when you combine this with the competition and with the portal and the other ways that we're going to try and encourage, for lack of a better word, but a secondary market, right? We'll have winners of our competition, and then there'll be lots of other folks who will be needing support in a variety of different ways, is to make sure that we're tracking what happens with applicants regardless of how successful they are. And then also that we start to, as we refine the platform, find ways to draw back in those connections to find out what happened.
In our some sites have used measurements like how many people participated, how many people voted, those kinds of things. Those seem like at least there's some metrics, but fairly crude, frankly.
Yeah, we'll track all the input stuff. And, you know, I'm excited about the 4,500 members that we have today and the number of 900-odd connections that have been made and all that good stuff, and I'm excited because those are the leading indicators to tell you whether you're headed in the right direction. But ultimately, this is about people finding connections that actually lead to impacts on students.
And I think that some people may feel, oh, I'm not a teacher, I'm not an education professional, so I can't participate. Is that necessarily the case? Or is this...
That is absolutely not the case. And I, you know, it's funny, there are different parts of the government that do this work in different ways. I always think about my friends over at NASA that often put challenges out. They put one challenge out to find a solution for, they needed a glove that would work in space at the temperatures that they have to be able to operate in and still allow the movement of the hand. And a father-son team in Maine actually won that challenge out of their garage. Right? And I think the same kinds of things can happen in education. Clearly, our educators know exactly what they need, but sometimes someone from the outside can propose a solution that you often can't see because you're really close to it.
Yeah, and we've seen technologies that we didn't even imagine would have a role in tech in education all of a sudden almost fundamentally changing how people think about information. So there's everyone can really play a role here.
I think that's exactly right.
Challenges that you've had. I know one of the challenges that I've seen in other contests, other of these kinds of sites, is reaching out, making sure that people even know about it. And sometimes you've created this wonderful portal and this wonderful new way of reaching out, and then you say, hold on, we have to reach out in our traditional ways, even radio maybe.
Well, I think a couple of things. One, we've deliberately kind of taken it kind of slow, and so, but yet, even still, we've wound up with a few thousand members already, just with basically barely a minimum word of mouth. The second thing that's going to happen that I think is going to drive our membership is actually the folks who apply to this Invest in Innovation Fund program that I talked about are going to have the option of opting in to having their profile published on this portal. And so the connection to an actual competition that has actual dollars associated, I think, is going to start to drive the community as well. And then once again, when we start to open up the platform to other organizations that are focused on education to pose challenges, I think many of them will bring their communities with them. The reality is we haven't actually encountered a whole lot of challenges other than the legal ones of trying to make sure that we're being appropriate as we roll out the platform. I think that we'll start to learn more about where it does and doesn't work well as we start to get more usage from the community.
So how can people help you today? Is it just to go on the site?
I think there are three ways that people can help us. One is definitely to go on the site at innovation.ed.gov. The second is to tell your friends to go on the site, especially if you think that they are creative, entrepreneurial folks. If they have a background in education, great. And if they don't, getting folks to start to take a look at the ideas that are there and stimulate their thinking, that's another great way to do it. And the third thing is to start to think differently about the ways in which we identify solutions to our current educational challenges. Right now, we have a significant challenge in that the best ideas oftentimes don't make it from one classroom to the next, let alone across school systems across the country. And this kind of a platform can be a place where our educators can start to look for solutions to problems that they have every day where they don't know where to begin to try and find solutions. And I'm hoping that this can be that kind of place for people where they start to use it that way.
When I was reading about you over the last couple nights, you have a background. You were with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, worked in schools a long time. But this is really your first government job, right?
Yes, it is.
What's I got to ask, what's it like?
It's actually great. I mean, it's been a great experience. I've been blown away by the career folks that are here at the Department of Education. People are smart, hardworking. I mean, these are things that I will say I should have taken for granted. I did not necessarily take for granted, and it's been a fantastic experience working with the team here. I think that I understood that I was getting into an organization that had some bureaucracy associated with it. And I have neither been overwhelmed nor surprised by what I found, but I am surprised at the kinds of bureaucracy that actually get in our way sometimes. But even with that, it's been a tremendous experience.
And I have a person I know who went from the IT sector and became a CIO and says that his government job was the best job he ever had. And in part because you got to work on, he felt like he really got to make a difference. He got to work on what he felt like were really important issues.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not only working on the issues that you think are important, but working on them at scale. There are very few places where if you get it right, you can actually impact millions of lives. The government is one of those places, and I'm hopeful that was something that I'll be able to say that I was able to do from here.
And this particular moment in time seems like a real opportunity where not only do you have these tools like the ones you're using with the Open Innovation platform, but also people seem to really want to contribute in some way and want to share that knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we're running several competitions right now. There is the Invest in Innovation Fund, which we had over 1,600, closer to 1,700 applicants to the competition. It set a new record for the department. We have a program which is much smaller, $10 million for planning grants for a program called Promise Neighborhoods, which many people know as the replication of the Harlem Children's Zone. We had over 941 intents to apply for that program. Hmm. So the level of energy and interest that people have for finding ways to solve the problems that we know are plaguing our communities and impacting our children is tremendous. And so we need to both figure out how to make the best of the resources that we have here at the federal level. But what I'm hoping the portal can do is to create communities that allow even the folks who are runners up to continue their work, to find each other, to leverage each other's work, and to find other sources of resources in order to continue and capitalize on the energy that they have already demonstrated.
Well, congratulations on making it happen. And we'd love to check back, in a couple months and see how things are going and track your progress and share lessons learned about what's working real well and what you would have done differently so other folks, as they go down this path, can share that knowledge.
I'd love it. I'd be happy to do it. I definitely don't want anybody to make the mistakes that I made again.